One of the issues that concern kashrus is worms found in different food items, in vegetables, in fish, in meat. All of these have to be carefully taken into concern. Worms found in fish will be the subject of what we'll discuss today. The Gemara states clearly that if worms are found in the B'nai Meyayin, in the intestines of fish, that these worms are osur. And one must be very careful when they open up the fish that the intestines should be removed completely and not allow them to burst open and spread all over, because if there are little worms and they'll begin to creep and stick to the rest of the fish, it takes a lot of effort to wash them off and clean them completely. If, however, the worms are found in the flesh of the fish itself, or even between the flesh of the fish and the skin of the fish, it's considered to be part of the fish, and the fish is mutter to eat with the worm, and it doesn't have to be removed. Now, as far as the worms found in the intestines, a number of years ago, it became apparent that special attention had to be focused on this issue, because people who used to clean the fish were trained from their earliest youth in taking care of these fish, because they grew up in a family that had the fish business, and they learned the art of it from the beginning. And they learned how to cut the fish properly to make sure that the intestines are removed without having them splatter all over. Now, there are two widely popular ways of filleting fish. One is to slice it and have the belly remain whole. That's called a round cut. And the other one is to slice through the belly, and that's called an open cut. And then they just expose the entire intestinal system and remove it. It takes special care to make a round cut, and people like to have fish that's cut like that so they could stuff it and make a filter fish and some other type of food preparation which requires that the fish be whole. It's cleaned out and the insides are filled with all kinds of tasty fillings. Now, what the preparer does is to slice it down till where the intestines begin, and then insert an instrument or their fingers and remove the intestines without allowing them to burst. It has to be done with great care, but people who are used to it can do it very quickly. When the fish is cut open and the belly is sliced through, it would seem that that's simpler. In truth, that that's perhaps as difficult or even more difficult, because the knife that's used to cut it has to be handled in a way which has the sharp part of the blade face away from the inside of the fish. And it has to be cut as if it were backwards, with the knife inserted and the blade upwards away from the fish, so that the intestine shouldn't be cut, only the skin of the fish should be cut. People who are skilled in this have no trouble at all with that. But in recent history, in recent years, we find people who just move from one profession to another, and the long-term devotion to one family profession isn't as common as it used to be. And the people just get to their work without practice and training, and they'll cut open the fish, and if there's splattering all over, then they'll just try to clean it up and make do with what they have in front of them. Very often, the little worms that are in the intestines of the fish manage to crawl all over, and the careful washing that's done, that's needed, is not done to it, and the fish could end up being sold with little worms attached to the fish. People who care about what they eat should check out the fish store and see to it that the cutting of the fish is done in the proper way, not allowing for the intestines to burst, to be cut open in the first place, rather than allowing it to be cut and then having to clean it up afterwards. They should request from the owners of the fish store that this should be done properly. Now, the fish worms that are found in the flesh of the fish, I said before that they're allowed. And just as an aside, worms found in meat are not allowed to be eaten with the meat. They have to be removed before cooking the meat. And the distinction between fish and meat is very interesting. Meat needs shchita, and any living part of the meat, which is all the meat in the animal, has to have shchita in order to make it mutter. Till the shchita, it's osir. You cannot eat meat unless there was shchita, but the worms are considered also living creatures that grew up in the animal, and they require shchita, but there's no way to make shchita on the worm. The shchita of the animal itself doesn't apply to the worm found embedded in the flesh. It does apply to a fetus, a smaller animal, in the interior of the larger animal. If the larger animal is a cow that's pregnant with a fetus, the fetus becomes mutter, even if there's no shchita. And it's considered to have had shchita because it was inside at the time of the shchita. But that's only another animal. Worms are not considered to have had shchita, but they still require it, and therefore they're permanently forbidden. When it comes to fish, it's a different story, because fish is mutter, it's allowed by sifa ba'alma, which means they just have to be gathered up from the sea and put into a vessel, a net, and allowed to die, and then the fish becomes permitted. There's no process like shchita, which is required. And therefore, the worms, as well as the flesh of the fish itself, becomes mutter to eat. And one doesn't have to check the flesh of the fish so carefully. If there are worms there, they're considered part of the fish. Now, recently there's been a lot of talk because people have read scientific, educational reports, and they've discovered that there's such a thing as a life cycle, which, of course, always existed. And these people have learned that the worms commonly found in the fish today come from little larvae that are swallowed by the fish, and then they bite their way through the walls of the intestine, and they worm their way through the flesh of the fish until they lodge themselves inside the flesh. So people say that if that's the case, these bugs and worms should be considered different than those described by the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch, meaning that the Gemara only spoke about worms that are actually part of the living flesh of the fish. They were created from some type of deterioration of the flesh of the fish itself, and those are the only kind that become mutter as part of the fish, whereas the others come from the outside, and just like the ones in the intestine are also forbidden because they come from the outside, they're not part of the fish. So too, the ones that are seen in the flesh of the fish are also come from the outside. Well, what do we do with what it says in the Shulchan Aruch and in the Gemara, that what's found in the flesh of the fish is mutter, is allowed? So we have to say that those worms that they speak about, which are allowed, are from some ancient species which we don't have today, but the ones that we see today are all from external larvae that invaded the fish and are considered not to be part of the flesh of the fish. Now, in order to sustain such reasoning, we would have to say that a couple of hundred years ago in the time of the Shulchan Aruch and going back to the Gemara, So there was one kind of species of worm, and today there's a new kind which didn't exist then. We have to say it didn't exist then, because if it did exist then there surely would have been two types of worms in the fish. This new kind that we see today, which existed all the way back, and the old type, which came about because of the deterioration of the flesh of the fish, and the two worms, either of them could be found in the fish. But that's utterly impossible, because if that were so, then you wouldn't be allowed to eat worms in the old days, even though the species that was allowed existed, but the species that wasn't allowed also existed. And who would be able to tell the difference and pick out one worm and say this is from the good species and the other one is from the bad one? So we would have to forbid all the worms. And the only way to get around that is to say that the worms that we see today weren't around in the old days. They came into being sort of in the last few hundred years since the publication of the Shulchan Aruch. Now, what we have here is perhaps some of you noticed a logical inconsistency, because the only reason for insisting that the worms that we have today are different than the ones that existed at that time was that the ones that existed at that time could come into existence without a father and a mother, without descending from worms that already existed before. They just came from some deterioration of the flesh of the fish, as it's claimed. And the ones that we have today are regular worms born of earlier worms, which are just a continuation of a certain species that goes all the way back. So, but by saying that, we say that this species that we see today, that is a worm born of a worm, wasn't around in the time of the Shulchan Aruch. That means it came into existence since the time of the Shulchan Aruch. So what we have is a contradiction, because the entire reason for claiming that this species is a new species is because it's unlike the old one and it can't come into existence. It has to descend from other worms. But we must also claim that at the time of the Shulchan Aruch, the time of the Gemara, the worms didn't exist, and they did come into existence at some abrupt moment or change in history. All of this, of course, isn't sensible, and what we have to say is the logical, sensible thing. There never were worms that came about through the deterioration of the flesh and the fish. This thing doesn't happen. There's no spontaneous generation, and we know it good and well. But what Chazal meant when they said that the fish produced its worms means that tiny microscopic larvae or eggs find their way into the body of the fish. And there they migrate to the flesh, and they develop completely inside the fish. And that's considered like part of the fish, because its entire sustenance and its body and every part of it that's visible came from the fish itself, although the genetic material came from an egg that was hatched outside in the seawater. But the living creature that we could identify today is a product of the development of that egg and larva into a mature little worm inside of the flesh of the fish, and that's considered part of the flesh of the fish. And therefore, the worms that we have today are just exactly the same ones that were around at that time. Thus, we could say that the halacha that we find in the Gemara and in the Shulchan Aruch is as true today as it was then, which, of course, is always the case. These abrupt changes in the nature of the world, if they indeed happen at all, are very, very rare and few and far between. And we have to assume that what we're seeing today is the exact same creatures that we saw in that time. Therefore, worms found inside the fish are allowed, and between the fish and the skin are allowed. Those found in the abdominal tract and in the intestines, they're not allowed, and great care has to be taken to see to it that they're not splattered all over the fish and that the cleaning is done properly. If someone wants to go over the fish with a fine-tooth comb and take out even the small, tiny little creatures that are found within the flesh of the fish, there's nothing basically wrong with that. It might be considered just being overly sensitive, but that's permitted. There's nothing wrong with refusing to eat something that disgusts certain people, so then they could take it out and not eat it. In fact, Chazal tell us when they speak about the worms in the fish that there was one Mandamer of the Gemara, one of the Amoraim, who said, "Ivla leave ano echel, please serve me fish with these worms, but make sure that they're blended together with the rest of the fish, so I shouldn't see them and be disgusted with the food that I ate." It's generally good policy to be careful when you clean fish and when you inspect the fish to make sure that nothing that appears problematic should be left inside the fish. And, of course, it's very good policy to cook the fish adequately. And thus, any disease or problem that might come from eating a live creature, such as a worm or anything else that's found inside the fish, that problem should be negated because of the cooking, which will kill every life form that comes from outside and could possibly harm a person who eats it. Today there's a widespread custom of eating raw fish and in the form of sushi. What has to be done in that case is a careful inspection of the fish to see to it that it doesn't contain any worm. If it will be eaten raw, it surely should be removed. Otherwise, it could be harmful to a person, even if it's allowed al pidyan. Thank you.